Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, December the 1st, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to teach us, day by day, step by step, the events that are going to take place, so that we might be ready. We ask you today to give us the strength and wisdom necessary to prepare for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we will take a look at a third chapter, and this will be the last one in this section of our time, as found in that same book we've been looking at in our last two sessions, The Dramatic Events of Earth's Final Hours, by Kirk Davies. And remember, we said that this is the October 2003 edition of that book. Today we want to take a look at Chapter 16. Chapter 16, again, the title of the book, Earth's Final Hours, or rather, the complete name of the book is The Dramatic Events of Earth's Final Hours, by Kirk Davies, October 2003 edition. And we're looking at chapter 16. The chapter is entitled God's Last Warning to a Dying World. Here's that chapter. Our world has just about reached the limit of God's mercy and forbearance. Man's pride and arrogance, his greed and selfishness, his violence, brutality, and immorality have reached a level that is intolerable. The suffering of millions caused by man's inhumanity to man is appalling to those watching this drama of earth. The end must come soon. God, of course, will not destroy this world without first warning us of the impending doom. But most of the people will ignore the warnings, just as they did in Noah's time. Noah preached to the people for 120 years, trying to warn them of what was going to happen. But none would listen. They mocked and ridiculed as he gave the warning that rain would soon fall to such an extent that the whole world would be flooded. They laughed and insulted him as he constructed the ark that carried him. And his family also helped as they prepared to be safely carried through the time of difficulty and the flood. The people would not believe Noah because it had never rained on the earth before. Rain was an utterly impossible thing, they said, and the people continued the evil and violence so detestable to God. Likewise, as our world rapidly approaches the final catastrophic events of this earth's history, most disregard the abundant warnings and advice God has given concerning the end. Instead of believing God, they believe the scientists and false ministers who proclaim more credible reports. In this, they make a fatal error. The last warning that God has given to our dying world is an admonition to obey God and to have nothing to do with any of the false religions in the world today. This warning, found in Revelation 14, verses 6 through 11, and Revelation 18, verses 1 through 4, has four parts, and is delivered by four angels. The word angel is translated from malak in Old Testament Hebrew, or angelos as New Testament Greek. Both words mean messenger or agent. When the Bible proclaims that an angel delivers a message, it simply means that a messenger or a messengers deliver a message that comes from God. Usually men are the messengers whom God uses to proclaim his messages to the world. They are to be of God's messengers in proclaiming this last warning to the world also. The first part of this last warning is found in Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. The word fear means to have a profound reverence for God, resulting in strict obedience to his requirements. The fact that this angel flies in the midst of heaven and that it goes to every nation, kindred, and tongue and people, indicates that this message is proclaimed worldwide. The subject of the message is the everlasting gospel. The word gospel means good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ has provided for us a way of escaping the traumatic events soon to take place, and also a way of escaping death in the destruction of the wicked at the end of the millennium. The message itself is a command to worship God, the Creator, and to return to the pure religion of Christ. It is a command to worship God in biblical purity and truth, without defilement by heathen doctrines or men's traditions. The fact that a message such as this is in the Bible for these last days indicates that men have corrupted their religion and have fallen away from worshiping or obeying God in the proper way. Men have been involved with tradition and pagan practices so long that these practices seem normal and right. But God warns against these things. The first message also tells us that God's judgment hour has already begun. Notice the present tense in the statement, "For the hour of his judgment is come." Of necessity, God must judge the people of this world because he returns so that before he returns, so that he will know whom to save and whom to reject. Because judgment will have ended by the time Christ returns, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12 tells us that he brings each of us our reward, either life or death, when he comes. "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." God's judgment began in the year 1844, the year in which the 2,300-day or year prophecy of Daniel 8:14 expired. Since that time, judgment has been preceding, beginning with the first people who lived on the earth and continuing to those who are living today. The second message is found in Revelation 14 and verse 8. "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Notice that Babylon is referred to here as a woman. Since a woman represents a church in Bible prophecy, and since this woman is shown to be a harlot by her fornication, she represents a false religion system. God, you will remember, uses the term fornication to describe the adulteration of the pure doctrine of the Bible with pagan practices and traditions of men. The phrase, "she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication," shows that this false religious system is worldwide. She has spread her traditions and heathen doctrines to all nations, and most of the people of the world have accepted her pagan traditions and nonsense as truth. The word Babylon means confusion. This term is used in the Bible to signify the confusion resulting from the more than 500 false religious denominations that exist today. We have seen that Babylon is the Catholic Church and all her Sunday-keeping daughter churches. The second message is that Babylon, the false religion of the world, has fallen. "Has fallen" is repeated to emphasize the fact that today the false churches have fallen far from the truth of God. As the false churches continue to move farther and farther from the truth, they will soon discover that there is not really that much to keep them separate, and they will form a great ecumenical alliance powerful enough to influence the government of the United States to pass a national Sunday law. This action by the United States will give birth to the image of the beast. The United States and the Great Ecumenical Alliance will form the image of the beast when the police powers of the United States are used to enforce the dictates of Ecumenical Alliance and the Catholic Church. The third message from God to our dying world is found in Revelation 14 and verse 9 and 10. It is the most severe warning found anywhere in the Bible. "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in their forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. We saw that the mark of the beast is Sunday observance, and that the warning of this third message will go into effect at the time the United States makes the image to the beast by passing a national Sunday law. In these last hours of Earth's history, the devil is getting desperate, for he knows that he's going to die, and he can see that Christ will indeed have his 144,000 perfect people for whom he is patiently waiting. Satan will be the driving influence behind the national Sunday law. God's true people are expecting Satan to appear in all his glory with his masquerades as Jesus. What most of these people do not know is that he will do this at least twice. He will first appear shortly before the close of human probation to give impetus and supposedly divine authority to the national Sunday law by telling the people that he changed the day to be kept holy from Saturday to Sunday. This act will not fool the truly sincere and obedient followers of Christ, for they are expecting him to do this. But it will drive the people of the world into a frenzy to persecute those who refuse this mark of the beast, in much the same way as the scribes and Pharisees influenced and controlled the mob who demanded the crucifixion of Christ. Satan issues his extremely stern warning, described in Revelation 13, verses 15 through 17, that we had better accept the mark of the beast, or else we will not be able to either buy or sell, and thus will not be able to supply our basic needs. Satan even threatens with death those who refuse to receive the mark of the beast. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Satan will make the lives of the righteous extremely miserable while trying to convince them that their doctrines are incorrect. Who shall be able to stand? Only the righteous who keep all of the Ten Commandments and put their complete trust in God. For without the grace of God, our situation on the planet would be completely hopeless. Let us further investigate Babylon. For we must completely understand the meaning of this term in order to understand fully the fourth part of God's warning to our dying world, as found in Revelation 17, verses 1 through 6 and verse 9. It says there, "And there came one of the seven which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration or astonishment. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, on which the woman sitteth." These verses refer to a great harlot, a false church, who has made all nations participate with her in her false religion. The statement that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her indicates that they have willingly accepted her tradition and pagan practices in place of true Bible doctrine. John was carried away into the wilderness, where he saw this large, powerful church drunken with the blood of the saints. Notice that this is a special wilderness, for the verse says, the wilderness. The wilderness is also mentioned in Revelation 12 and verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they would feed her there 1,260 days. We know from previous chapters that this period of 1,260 prophetic days, or actual years, is the period of the Dark Ages, when the papacy reigned supreme. John, therefore, in the vision, was carried forward into time to this wilderness, and there he describes the Revelation chapter 17. The only large, powerful, prominent church existing at that time was the papacy. This harlot, therefore, is the Roman Catholic Church. Let us now go back and consider the details of Revelation 17, verses 1 through 6 and verse 9, with the understanding that this prostitute is the papacy. The statement in verse 1 that this church is a great whore indicates an almost total falling away from God's truth. The phrase "she sits upon many waters" means that she is a worldwide powerful church. Verse 2 says that the people of the earth are drunk on the wine of her fornication, that is, drunk with her false doctrine. Many fail to realize the significance of this verse. They do not realize that this church's doctrine has intoxicated virtually the entire world as thoroughly so that the truth of the Bible seems totally wrong. These people are stone drunk. They are completely unconscious of the truth in the Word of God. So drunk are they that many of them are unable to understand Bible truth, even when it is explained very carefully and in great detail to them. The statement in verse 3 that this harlot rides upon a seven-headed beast indicates that the church is in control of the political organization represented by the beast, a union of church and state. Verse 4 mentions the color of the papacy, scarlet and purple. The harlot is adorned with these colors and with gold, precious stones, and pearls, symbols that indicate expensive tastes and worldly glamour to attract her lovers, the nations of the earth. The papacy, in its pomp and ceremonies, is always richly adorned. She is holding a golden cup that is full of wine, the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. The contents of her cup are her pagan doctrines. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This verse reads, Babylon the Great, and indicates that family of false churches generally referred to as Babylon. There is one church that is greater than all the rest. This is the church that is basically the seat of the false pagan doctrines that are practiced to a greater or lesser extent in all the other churches. We see that this church is described as a mother church who has given birth to many other churches, all of which are referred to as harlots. Notice what Rome says about itself. Which church claims that it is the mother church? We have seen that the Catholic Church makes this claim. I acknowledge the Holy Catholic Apostolic Roman Church for the mother and mistress of all churches. And you'll find that in Article 10 of the Creed of Pope Pius IV. Verse 6 says that this mother church is drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. We have seen previously how the papacy persecuted many millions of Christians during the Dark Ages. Rome, the capital and seat of power of this church, is well known as the city that is built on seven hills. Verse 9 says that the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. This is yet another point identifying this harlot as the Roman Catholic Church. The seven heads of the animal in this prophecy actually represent two things. The New International Translation of the Bible says in verse 9, this calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. they are also seven kings. Verses 10 and 11 says in the King James Version, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other one is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he that is the eighth, and he is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. These verses are obviously dealing with a time prophecy. John, you will remember, was carried into the wilderness, the period of the Dark Ages. More specifically, he was carried to the end of the Dark Ages, to 1798, when the papacy was receiving its deadly wound. The five heads have fallen that are in Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, pagan Rome, and papal Rome. The one that is in 1798 is the United States. The one that is to come to the powerful ecumenical alliance of the false churches that will be instrumental in having the United States pass a national Sunday law is indeed found as a part of that new nation. This powerful alliance is called the False Prophet in Revelation, chapter 6, chapter 16, chapter 19, and chapter 20. The control of the political power in the United States by this powerful alliance of churches is symbolized by the words, image to the beast. The beast that was and is not is the papacy, for it had just received its deadly wound in 1798. But as we know, it was to come back to prominence and power in the world. It is an eighth head in this group of political powers. But of course, it is also of the seven, just as this prophecy says. Since this harlot who sits upon the beast, having heads that represent political powers that had come and gone before the papacy appeared on the scene of history in 538 AD, one may wonder how this harlot could be the papacy. The reason is that papal doctrine is a strange mixture of the old pagan religions of this fallen nation and with a Christian facade. This prophecy, in fact, shows the pagan nature of papal doctrine. The book entitled The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop tells us clearly what that is. When Christ was born, with Christ was on earth 2,000 years ago, he established one church. He did not establish more than one. Ephesians 4 verses 4 through 6 strongly emphasizes that there is only one true church. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. How much plainer could it be? Satan has saturated the world with many religions and denominations in order to confuse mankind. Many who are trying to find God's true church give up in despair. This tactic of Satan has been extremely successful in keeping most people out of God's true church and ignorant of the truth. How then is God's true church found? It is found in God's word. How do we find that? By simply studying God's word and asking him for guidance. Simply look for the church that teaches obedience to all of God's Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath commandment and to the other injunctions of Scripture. As I said before, this is chapter 16 of that book, The Dramatic Events of Earth's Final Hours, and I sincerely hope that you will find it a blessing today. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love and for your direction, for the instruction that you continue to give us day by day. We ask that you would continue to lead us in the path of righteousness and allow us to become stronger each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, December 1st, 2019.